This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this incredible moment that we have, Lord, in the spirit, Lord, to come together and to hear what you want to say to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of many voices and many noises, Lord, that we can ask you to still our hearts. Lord, that you will come and that you will come and anoint my words this morning, Lord. I understand, Lord, that in myself I have nothing to give to your people except what you have given me through your Spirit, Lord. I understand, Lord, that man cannot accomplish your purposes, Lord, outside of your anointing, outside of your purpose. And so I pray, Lord, for the soil of your people's hearts this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and ignite and come and do in us, Lord, what only you can do, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Eugene shared with us this morning a little bit around those four pillars. I want to encourage you, if you missed the sermons last year, go into the website. They're all there. Facebook even, you'll find them there. But you know, those four pillars really, they aren't things that we've sucked out of our thumb. They're scriptural, and I believe they're scriptural priorities. They're praise and worship, prayer, reflecting God's heart of mercy, and reflecting his heart of generosity. Isn't a shofar thing, I believe it's a biblical thing. Amen. It is part of the normal Christian life, and we're wanting to build and gear everything that we do around those values, around those foundations, and saying that we all as living stones, we desire to reflect God's presence, we desire to reflect his heart, we desire to love the people that God loves, and we desire to give the way that God wants us to give. And towards the end of last year, I began to experience a shift in my heart as I was going through a time when I had a lot of thinking to do just around us as a church family. You know, very often as pastors, we are confronted with a lot of sounds. And so in a morning like this, even when we come together, there are a lot of sounds in this place. The sound of songs that go up to God. There's a sound of people meeting one another in the foyer, and there's excitement in the foyer. There are sounds of kids running around, and those are all beautiful sounds, and I believe they're sounds that God has given us. I think some of the saddest times in or saddest places are places that are quiet when they are supposed to be filled with laughter and supposed to be filled with the sound of joy. And if those places are quiet, it's eerie, isn't it? And you just know there's supposed to be more here. We have been given vocal cords, and we have been given an ability to declare and to release and to fill the atmosphere around us. But I believe, as precious as those sounds are, that sometimes they are even, there are other sounds maybe that we don't echo in a place like this, and sounds of heartache, sounds of isolation, sounds of loneliness. And I'm trusting God that somewhere, if there is a sound in your heart, that you will have a safe place where you can voice that sound, where you can go to someone within a small group context, in a relational context, and you can say to them, man, I'm struggling. I've lost my voice. I'm being inundated by so many different voices and sounds, and I don't know what God is saying. That you would have a place like that. And during last year, often I had to listen to sounds. I had to listen to people who came to me as a pastor, and they had opinions about us. They had opinions about the service. They had opinions about the amount of kids in the service. Or they had opinions about the length of the service, the volume of the sound, sometimes too loud, sometimes too soft. Sometimes there are too many kids in the service, sometimes not enough kids in the service. Sometimes there's too much preaching, sometimes not enough preaching. There's a lot of sounds that come towards a lead in any place, in any context. And what I had to do was I had to navigate my way through those sounds, through those voices, and I had to find out from God, in the midst of all of these sounds, what do I need to hear? What is from you? Where do we need to learn? Where do we need to grow? And we are on an aggressive process together with the elders, together with the leaders, to say, God, where can we grow? Where can we become more in tune with your people, and we can serve your people, because that is one of our core values, is we believe God has called us to serve people, not to be served. So as a leader, even had an interesting conversation with one of my kids yesterday about the camp. And he's like, Dad, so obviously we don't have to pay, hey, because it's your camp. I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. Just because I'm the leader doesn't mean that I just go to things for gratis. I can't expect other people to be doing things and I don't do it, because our value is not to be served, is we serve people. And so just because I'm in a leadership position doesn't give me a lot of privileges, and it doesn't allow me to take things upon myself that I wouldn't expect other people to do. But one of the responsibilities that God has given me is to listen to a lot of sounds that maybe you don't always have to listen to. And, you know, it is rare for someone to phone a pastor and say, Pastor, I want to see you, please, because I've got exciting news to share. Pastor, I wanna see you, please, because I have this breakthrough that came through. I wanna phone you. I wanna see you. I wanna spend an hour, 2 hours with you just to talk about the goodness of God. That is rare. Mostly, Pastor, I need to see you because there's a crisis in my family. Pastor, I need to see you because there's a crisis in my business. And I'm like, yes, I'm there, because that is what God has called us to do. He's called us as shepherds to lay our lives down for the sheep, to pray for you, to intercede for you, to be there for you. But it is rare that somebody would, from that moment onwards, even from the moment of crisis where we pray, that you would get the positive feedback later on. But that's just the way that it is, and that is okay, because God has called us, I believe, to move into a different sound. I believe that there's a sound, and this week as leaders, we came together. You know, I grew up in church, so I'm 43 years old now. So I've been in church for 43 years of my life. My dad was a minister, and so I saw a lot of things, grew up with a lot of things. So there aren't too many things that still surprise me. I've pretty much seen it all, big churches, small churches, traditional, non-traditional churches. And I'm continuously being challenged by the Word of God, continuously coming to the Word of God and understanding that I can never say I fully know everything about God's Word. Never can come to the Word of God, walk away from it, and not feel challenged. If I engage with God's Word and God's Word doesn't challenge me, then there's something wrong with my heart. Because God's Word is always magnificent and beyond what I can comprehend. And whilst I was wrestling with God, God, what do you want me to hear? What are the sounds I need to take seriously? You know, with all of these years and all the sounds that I've heard and all of the reasons why people would talk about church, and the reason why sometimes people would say, I need to find another space. It is rare that somebody would come to me and say to me, Heinrich, I feel I need to move on because we are not getting the lost saved. I've probably had that happen 1.5 times since I've been in ministry. It is rare that one of the most frustrating things that frustrate people in church is the fact that lost people are not coming to salvation. And that bugs me. It bugs me that the fact that what is a priority for God seemingly is not a priority for God's people. And for a long time, I didn't make peace with the fact that it wasn't a priority for me, because I was in survival mode. I was in let's build. I was in a mode of let's just get through this time. I know where we, God, I can sense where we're going. And we were in a season as Shofar, as a bigger church family, where God was saying, I want you to be known for your love. So I don't want you running after the nations and going all sorts of different places and doing things, and you do that from a cold heart. You don't love one another. You don't care about one another. You evangelize the whole world, and yet your oikos, the people around you, they suffer. That's not godly. And so God shifted our attention and said, I want you to have ingrained in your lives loving one another so that the world can know you are my disciples, because you love each other. And so the sound for us as a church family for a long time was listening to one another, finding out what is the things that bug you, what are the things that hurt you, what are the things that I've done that maybe cause you pain, and then I want to know about that so I can repent and I can make it right. And we had a lot of conversations like that, and people turned towards one another, and that's, for me, incredible, because God is the restorer of relationships. Amen. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He desires fathers and sons' hearts to be turned towards one another, brothers to walk in unity, because there the Lord commands a blessing, where brothers dwell together in unity, where it's not the programs that keep them together, but it's the unity that keep them together. In order for that to happen, we need to listen to each other. We need to talk to one another. But towards the end of last year, I began to experience a shift in my spirit where God was saying, Heinrich, I want you to open your ears to hear a different sound. I want you to to move away from just listening to the sounds of what people are saying, but I'm wanting you to hear a sound that's coming from heaven. What's the sound that's coming from heaven? What's the sound that preoccupies heaven? What is the sound that causes heaven's resources to be released? What's the sound that causes heaven's power to be unleashed? What is that sound? And if you don't hear that sound, you'll be trapped within the sound of human opinion and human plans and human agendas. And human plans and agendas might be good, but they are not God's ultimate for us. We cannot live according to man's plan. I cannot live my family, base the life of my family and our future together upon what Heinrich thinks. Because Heinrich would want to have a safe environment. Heinrich would want to have a predictable environment. Heinrich would want to plan who Annika and Kate is going to marry. Heinrich would want to know who that guy is now already so I can go and hurt him deeply. And from that, he can have respect for my daughters one day. Heinrich would want to know that. He wants to control things, but that isn't the way that God has created us to live. I've got no guarantees that my girls will grow up in South Africa one day or will find their husbands to be South Africans. I've got no guarantee that Kate wouldn't one day want to go to Timbuktu and there establish something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got no guarantee. What I do know is I need to prepare her. I need to train her. I need to disciple her so that she can hear heaven's voice and respond to heaven's voice. Not to the voice of her career or to the voice of her dad's voice even primarily, but God's voice. What is heaven's sound? What is heaven's sound? And so this week in this leaders meeting, we were going around, we were talking about the state of our flock and churches. And then there's one voice that came and the voice said, I'm frustrated because I'm not seeing the lost saved. I'm frustrated because I'm not seeing the lost saved. And I want to ask you, church, that you will in your heart this morning, maybe you don't know what it means for you, but in your heart, you would with me say yes to having our ears opened to hear the sound of heaven, to hear the sound of the harvest. And so I want to share with you a couple of thoughts. And I know that when I'm preaching this, I do run the risk of some of you not coming back again. And I want to say to you, that is okay. I'm okay with that. I've had enough people coming into my life and leaving again. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. I want to tell you what God is saying to you. Amen? I don't want to tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what you need to hear. And I believe that as a Shofar congregation, as we are sitting in this place, there is so much that God has invested in us over the years. So much that we need to hear the sound of the harvest. I believe that there are marriages, individual callings stagnating because we have lost the sound of the harvest. Momentum comes into our lives when we align ourselves with God's priorities. That's when the momentum comes. And so I hope that you know by now that I love you. I hope that by now you know that I wouldn't say this to you unless I believe God is wanting me to say this to you. If you get offended with me, sort it out with God. And so at the beginning of this month, I went to Indonesia. And I want to show you a picture because this was such a powerful picture to me. There were people that came to Cape Town and they're praying for our country. And he shared with me this prophetic picture that somebody drew because this is the picture that they saw over South Africa and over Cape Town. And you will see that there's the lion and the lamb. And you remember that there's a song that started just echoing in our hearts last year, the lion and the lamb. It's roaring with power. There's the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And there's the lion center to that picture. And he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's the victorious one. He's the powerful one. The scripture says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion. But he isn't the lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah, he is the lion. The devil intimidates. And the devil would have a roar. And the devil would want to come and intimidate us. But I believe that there's a sound coming from heaven that is wanting to open our hearts. And you will see that sort of in the next to the lion towards the right is the shofar. There's a shofar on top of it. There's some notes there. And then to the right of the shofar toward its edge, you will see the menorah, the golden lampstand. And last year, God began to speak to me, and I shared that word with you as I came back from the UK, that God is saying to us that it is not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my spirit. And that lamp is being fed not by human hands. In the old temple, the Levites had to keep the oil burning constantly. They had to make sure that lamp never goes dead. But in the one that Haggai saw, it was different. That lamp was being sustained by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. On Wednesday morning, we prayed in the Strand. Went there, took a couple of guys, and we prayed. And the Spirit of God came upon me and convicted me that we do not hunger after Him. We say we do, but we don't live like it. If we did, our prayer life would reflect it. Our worship would reflect it. If we are desperate and hungry, if we understand, I cannot do anything of value. I cannot do anything of value. And what is value? Value is the shaping and impacting eternity. Amen? That is value. Everything else is dust and air. Everything else that does not impact eternity. Everything else that I cannot take with me into eternity is dust and air and will be consumed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Everything I teach my kids, everything I model to them, everything that I build that does not somehow tie into eternity is a waste of my time. It's dead works. But God, through His Holy Spirit and through His Word, wants to, I believe, shift us to shift our priorities, saints, into God's agenda. God's, and it's not new news to you. Because you've heard this 1,000 times. I mean, you're sitting in front of me. You can preach, many of you can preach the sermon better than I do. Most of you are probably living it in some way or another as well. But I want to issue this out in the Spirit. I want to draw a line at the beginning of this year. And I want to ask you to journey with me into us allowing that sound, not just to be a peripheral sound. Not just to be a sound that I hear on a Sunday morning and then I shut it off till next week Sunday again. But to be a sound that consumes me. Like Eugene on Sunday around the financial wellness seminar, he said, if I spend about 140, 160 hours working to earn an income, and I don't even spend 1 hour out of that 160 planning about how I'm going to spend that income, isn't that a little bit insane? Because then I'm just this little rat running around. And I'm not thinking. I'm not planning. And so I want to ask you, we put the announcements on the slides. We send out email communication, and too often, it happens, there's no plan that goes on around that. All we can do is we can put it on, we can encourage you. You need to prioritize around the things of God, saints. You need to plan, you need to sacrifice, you need to say, I cannot do everything, but this one thing I will do. Some of you saw the wedding marriage seminar coming up, and you know your marriage needs it. If you're not going to plan for it, if you're not going to talk to your wife about it now, if you're going to organize babysitters, you will not be there. Because you're not planning to be there. In other words, it's not a priority. Is it a priority? If it is a priority, your time and your money will reflect your priorities. That's all. If it is a priority, your time and your money will reflect that priority. And so I wanna speak to us in love this morning. I wanna ask us that we will shift our priorities, not just sing about it, not just talk about it, not just complain about it, but we will shift our priorities and do something about it. Do something about it. And so the shofar blows. And I believe, guys, that this is the sound. That there's a sound. And God, if you are visiting us here, please forgive my talk. I believe that God will touch your heart as well to speak to you. If you belong to a different church, bear with me. But I want to speak to you as people who are committed. Amen? I'm going to speak to you this morning, not as people who are visiting and not sure whether you want to be here or not. If you are not sure whether you want to be here or not, please go to God, ask Him, Father God, should I be here or not? And if He says to you no, then please go. Go where God wants you to be because time is too short. I don't know about you whether you can afford at the end of this year still not know whether this is your church or not. If this is your church, then we are called what? Shofar. That is what we are called. We are shofar. We are shofar. And that means that God has given us a sound that didn't start with Fred May and Lucille May. Didn't start with a man. It started in the Spirit. And God ordained that this church should be called shofar. I had a meeting with Heinz Winkler on Thursday from Every Nation. So let me just say this before you think I'm saying we're better than anybody else. We are going to do a joint service, Every Nation, New Gen, and shofar. One of these days. Amen? Why? Because we love the rest of the body of Christ. We love them. We know it's more special than anybody else. But God called Heinz to be at every nation. He's called me to be here. If you are here, saints, be here. Be here. Be here. Be present. God is who? God is the great I am here. I am here. Here, rooted here in this place. And I'm going to blow the shofar. Maybe my sound is a little pipsqueak, mousy sound. All I can do is say a prayer for somebody who's going through a tough time. That is your sound. Add that sound to ours. Maybe you can make coffee with love. Add that sound to ours. Maybe you can go and hand out stuff to the street people. Add that sound because we need that. And I believe that God is wanting to release a sound, a prophetic sound that simply says there's a lot of things that the shofar says, but it says there is a call that's going out for the harvesters to arise. There's a passion and there's a priority on God's heart. And I believe the shofar is calling us back to God's heart, to his heart, not Heinrich's heart. And that's why I prayed for us before this time. I don't want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to hear the heart of God. And that prophetic picture for me was an important one because it shows that shofar blowing. And I was in Indonesia. And by the way, we don't have a monopoly on the shofar, right? We didn't design the shofar. It belongs to the body of Christ, right? So many people are blowing the shofar. We don't have the monopoly on it, right? We haven't patented it. But to hear that sound go forth, to hear that sound, to hear that God is calling us. And you will see Africa there. And then there's this wave. Nick and I, we watched this program on the earthquake that hit Japan a couple of years ago. Oh my goodness, do yourself a favor. Go and watch that. See what it means when we say that a wave of revival needs to come. There's a wave that came forth from that earthquake and that wave changed the landscape. So guess what? When we are praying, I don't know whether you are praying this, but every Monday evening except for February when we have financial wellness seminar, we have about 15, 20, 25 people every Monday evening. You know what we're praying for? We're praying for revival. We're praying for souls to get saved. We're praying for God who sent us the souls. We're praying for God who sent us to the souls. We're praying for God who changed the landscape so that we can be filled. This place can be filled with people who right now in this moment are heading to hell and they are forever going to spend eternity without God unless God reaches them through us. That is what we are crying out to God for. Crying out on our knees, praying, Jesus, save the Yaldabaoth. Jesus, use us. You know what? If God answers our prayer, the landscape is going to change. The landscape is going to change. Things will change. Are we ready? Are we ready? I know I wasn't ready when God started speaking to me about this. So I'm asking you that you would join me in praying to God. God, prepare our hearts. Enlarge the tent pegs. Stretch our tent pegs. Help us to enlarge our hearts, God. So my Sunday is not just about me. My Wednesday, my small group evaluation is not. What is the small group giving me? You know how tired I am of hearing that? What is the small group giving me? What is this church giving me? What are we doing if that is our priority? What are we doing if we are evaluating all of our church activities around? What is this giving me? What are we busy doing with church? If we continue this way, God will remove our lampstand. Then we can close this thing down and go and do something else, go and serve. With present worship music in your ears. Let's turn our hearts back to God's priorities. Some people can preach passionately without raising their voices, all right? I can't, forgive me. Passion doesn't have to look like mine. You can be passionate without raising your voice. But there's a wave that comes, all right? And that wave hits Africa. And if faith feared Africa, for Jesus, no one. I chatted to Pastor Everest on Monday. Spent all day with him and his wife. They're from Burundi. You know, Burundi's employment rate. You know what Burundi's employment rate is? Somebody take a guess. Come on, take a guess. Anybody? Daniel, I don't care. 60% Burundi employment rate. It's a little bit lower than that. 10%. It's a little bit lower than that. Take a guess. 2%, 1.49%. Do we even know what that means? Here in Somerset West, Gordon's Bay Strand, do we know what people live like when your employment rate is 1.49%? We have them over at the house and we're having supper and we give them dessert, ice cream. And then I ask them, so what do you do for dessert in Burundi? And he says, the concept of dessert doesn't exist with us. Dessert, there's no such word. There's one guy, Bujumbura, that sells ice cream. One guy. And he says, pray for us. So what can we pray for you for? He doesn't mention one need. I'm not going to talk about needs, physical needs. You pray. You can ask God. Pray that we will be faithful. They've got 3,000 children across their 13 churches. 3,000 children. Most of them orphans from the war between the Hutus and the Tutsis. His Hutu, his wife is Tutsi. She was third in line. They chopped the head of the first woman in front of her and they chopped the head of the second woman in front of her. She cried out to Jesus, Jesus, add more years to my life. And somebody ran up to her and says, she's Burundian, not Rwandan. And they took her away. And they're laying their lives down to get the lost saved. They say, we need farmers. We don't have electricity. We need someone just to come help us. How do we get the water from the lake to where we are living? And I'm thinking, hier sit ons vet. Well, nie ek nie. Fysies nie. Maar geestelik, vet. And this world, it's lost. It's crying out of Jesus. Jesus, save us, save us. Can we hear the sound, saints? All I'm wanting you to do this morning is to engage your spirit. Can you hear the sound? It's beyond the sound of my needs. Where are my kids going to school? Is Annika doing high jump or is she doing ekis or is she doing ballet? And it's amazing. But is there a sound that's more important than that? I'm saying that's insignificant. I'm saying I'm praying for her. I want her to be a high jumper by excellence, maybe even go to the Olympics. I want her to use her high jumping talents and skills for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. But I cannot say, you know, I'm raising my kids. I just want her to be good, to be a good steward, to be a good disciple. And that's all that I'm doing, not while the rest of the world is dying. That I'm making an idol of little Annika. And I'm basing everything, the gospel sound gets lost in the sound of the needs of my children. Surely, that cannot please God. Surely the blessing that he has given me cannot speak louder to me than God himself. Surely the blessing he has given me cannot speak louder to me than the God of the blessing. And there are nations. Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I had a dream. Sounds like Martin Luther King, right? But it wasn't that profound. It was just profound to me. I was dreaming. And it's about 3 years ago, and Gerard and myself, we were in this 4x4 thing, driving beach road, and suddenly this massive wave came. It's like a massive, massive wave. Big G was in the car, so I felt reasonably all right. But I remember just this thing came just towering over us, and then it came crashing over us, but then all of a sudden, there was this, like this chamber underneath this, there's a wave, and we could go into that chamber, and then the chamber's like an onderwater grot, and a cave underneath the water, and it was just filled with these treasures, filled with the treasures, filled with all the treasures that our congregations in this country needed. I believe that provision for us as a church, provision for us as individuals lies locked up in the wave of souls. Provision for us lie locked up in the waves of souls. Unless we dive into that wave, we will have a little bit of provision here and a little bit of provision there. But we don't just want a little bit of provision, do we? We want provision that will impact generations. I want my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren one day to thank an opa who laid his life down for the Lord Jesus Christ and gave them eternal riches. I want them to be able to go on missions because I've established a fund for them to go on mission, practical and spiritually speaking. Right, and so when we are talking about growing in generosity and we want to do the financial wellness seminar, please don't hear me. I don't want more of your money. I don't want this, we're not doing this financial generosity thing because you can give more. Please, rather give me your prayer than your money. If you have to choose between giving your money and giving me your prayer, please give me your prayers. Please cry out to God with me. Please engage your heart with me. Say, Jesus, 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 save this town. Save this town. Or don't we even know that this town needs saving? Are we that impressed with the 4x4s and the smart cars that we forget that they're going to hell without Jesus? And the nations come and they all gathered there together. Let me read some scripture with you. So I realized last week, somebody said, it's amazing. I've never been so encouraged by a sermon that didn't have one verse in it. I'm like, oh, shucks. You know, there I'm failing homiletics 101. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6 says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. We've been talking about joy. If you were here any time during January, you remember we've been talking about joy. And God is a God of joy, and He wants to restore our joy. And if the devil has your joy, he's got your strength. And so what the devil is after is not your finances so much, not even your health so much. He's after your joy because he knows if he steals your joy, he steals your strength. And we've been speaking to one another about joy not being an emotion only, not being happiness. Happiness is transient. Happiness is dependent upon individual events and upon the economy and upon my health and upon my marriage. All of those things determine happiness. Joy rises above those things. Joy is supernatural. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit isn't controlled by the economy of the country, is He? The Holy Spirit isn't even controlled by the state of my marriage, is He? He's God. He's enthroned above those things. And He can elevate me as well. I spoke to Annika this morning and said, my girl, you're coming here. You can dance on other music. Please don't expose her. Right, I'm sharing this with you guys in confidence with almost 100 people. So I've got to be careful as well. But I challenged her. I said, my darling, you can dance on other music. It sets your feet dancing. I want you to engage with the Spirit of God when we come to church. I want you to engage. I don't want you to be switching off. I don't want you to be concerned about the people around you because those people come and they go. God remains. They're not going to stand with you in front of the throne room of heaven, and they certainly didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. So who are you going to live for? You know what? I have to teach her that. My child, we are coming to the house of the Lord, a God who's worthy. We're going to watch a movie. You know what? We are there. When? On time. We prepare our kids. We buy popcorn. We buy Coke. We are ready to have a good time. We come ambling into church, 5 past, 10 past, 20 past. What are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them the fear of the Lord, a gracious, holy God, that obviously when we have trouble, He's there for us? But are we teaching our children to fear and revere God? Are we teaching our children to honor God above everything else? It's my challenge for my own kids. So what I'm doing now, I'm playing the worship music at home with them, saying, we're going to praise God at home. So when you hear the words aren't strange to you, we're going to worship God. We're going to engage with God. So I realize the greatest gift I can give my children is the connection to God. It's the greatest gift I can give them. How do you relate to God? How do you find your strength? How do you move beyond the fear of man and get plugged into God? Those who sow with tears. And so this picture is of agriculture. And there's a farmer, there's a sower that goes out and says that those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. I see a transaction taking place there. I see that if we desire joy, if we understand that joy is supposed to be our strength, or our strength is in our joy, how do we get that joy? I think there are many ways, but I feel one of the most powerful ways is there's a transaction that takes place where those who sow with tears will reap with joy. In other words, that I bring my tears to God. I want to encourage you, some of you maybe going through tough times, difficult times, and nobody else knows about it. You're in this church and there are happy songs playing, but your heart is breaking. God sees your tears. Take your tears to Him. Sow your life. Sow it before God. Lay it down before Him. Say, Father, I thank You. My tears are not shed in isolation. You see, even if nobody else sees. And God says, you will reap with songs of joy. But within that context, that's not just speaking about an individual who's crying over his toe that he kicked against a stone. It's talking about the harvest. It's talking about the harvest, and it says, those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And it speaks there, I couldn't help but thinking about the Burundians, where just having seed is such a precious thing, and you're sometimes torn between, am I going to sow the seed, or am I going to eat the seed? And just so sowing kills you. Sowing breaks you. You cannot get a harvest while you're sitting on your couch. You cannot get a harvest while you're staring at the seed. You cannot get a harvest while you are singing about the seed. You cannot get a harvest while you are planting the seed. You only get a harvest when you plant the seed. You only get a harvest when you plant it. And the Bible says that they go out weeping because it's tough and it's difficult, and maybe we get attacked while we go. There's a risk involved, but at the other end of that risk, there's great joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow. So I want to ask you, if this is your bag of seed the Lord has given us, what's in your bag? What's the seed that you have to sow this year? What is the seed? And I couldn't help thinking when I was praying for us that there are bags, chock and block full. Chock and block full, full of prophecies, full of sermons, full of Bible schools, full of encounters, full of foundations, full of marriage prep seminars, full of mission trips, full, full. What are you doing with the seed God has given you? What am I doing with the seed God has given me? That's my challenge. Lord is speaking to me about it, and He's turning me inside out, upside down. Heinrich, wat maak jy? Is your heart aligned with mine? What are you doing with the seed God has given you? It says if we go out weeping, there's a promise that we will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. What a beautiful picture. Sheaves, just full, 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 coming back. Coming back. The joy of people coming to salvation. There is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than seeing someone transition out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, discipling them and walking with them and seeing how they then become disciple makers in turn. There's no greater joy. I read something that says, the reaper of souls first need to become a weeper for souls. The reaper of souls first need to become a weeper for souls. I'm going to say to us that we will not see the lost coming in unless we allow God's compassion to break our hearts for them. We will miss out on joy, and it will be transient, and the joy will be dependent upon how good the band is performing, how great the coffee is tasting, how awesome somebody's doing a small group, and those things will determine my joy unless I'm tapping into the joy of seeing the harvest coming to salvation. The harvest. And I believe there's a sound, saints. So Monday evenings, Sunday mornings, we're going to do it Wednesday mornings as well sometimes. I want to ask you, if you are a member of this church, please prioritize corporate prayer. Doesn't mean you are there every time. Just start once off, like we say to people struggling with tithing. Don't jump from 0 to 10%. Maybe just start with 1 or 2%. It's a journey, and it's not about how much you give. It is about join hearts together. And together we cry out for the lost to see them come to salvation. Is daar losie voor of achter? 22:11. Is that the time? Isaiah 56 verse 7, Eugene touched on this and I spoke on this last year. It says, even those, speaks about us strangers, foreigners, those who were cut off from the covenant of God. It says, I will bring them to my holy mountain and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. I believe that there's joy, breakthrough, momentum, energy, synergy that happens when we come together corporately to pray. I walk away from my house. I speak to my wife 2 weeks in advance. Says, baby, I want to go to intercession on Monday evening. You know, we had 3 little kids to one stage as well. I know the temptation. I know how difficult it is. But it is possible if you plan it. Because we go camping. We go other places. We go out on Friday nights. We can do it. We can do it if we plan it. I want to go to intercession, baby. And so therefore, I will watch the kids for these next couple of days. Now, a great opportunity for you to go as well. How can we do this? Phone me if you need a babysitter. I will pay someone to come to your house so you can come to intercession. It is that important for me. It is that big a priority. We shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Even if that is the only thing at the end of this year, we shall be a house of prayer for all lost people. And I believe God has got joy for us. Locked up saints, joy beyond what we can imagine. Spoke to somebody, they spoke to me and says, Heinrich, you don't know how often I'm like, oh, I've got to go to intercession. And I go and I walk away from there. My battery is charged. I've got energy for the day. I've got perspective for the week. It's just been amazing because God did something supernatural. There's joy to be found in us crying out for God's priorities. And you know what happens when we start prioritizing God's priorities? God comes and He blesses the time that you have left. There's so many of you sitting in this room and you know what happened when you were studying. You know. When you had to write those exams and you bargained with God. God, I'll go to the service. God, I'll do this. And how God came through for you and blessed your intelligence and blessed your mind. It's not a trade-off, but what happens? The Holy Spirit fills you. You get energized. The spirit of creativity and intelligence works through you. And you're so much more effective than slaving off by yourself. It's a sound of intercession. It's a sound of praise. We've been speaking about this already. Isaiah 9 verse 3. It says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. Hallelujah, God. You're doing that. The Lord is adding so many beautiful people to our church this year. Every Sunday, new people coming saying, this is home. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with a joy at the harvest. I'm like, God, can we be people rejoice before you because of the fact that you've saved us? We're part of the harvest because of the fact that you are saving those around us. They are glad as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Amen. There's nothing greater than knowing I made the coffee for that person when somebody else invited them. And in my small group, we prayed for that person that came that Sunday. And we stood in faith. And that person came to salvation. And somebody else invited them into their home. And somebody else gave them a pair of shoes or maybe gave them a job. Why? Together we are rejoicing over the spoil. What's the spoil? What's the prize? What's the main aim for us as believers? What's the goal? What's the goal? The goal is the spoil of war. Jesus won the victory, didn't he? Defeated the powers of sin, death, and the grave. Jesus died to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. Jesus came to vanquish the enemy. We are here to go and take the spoil. We are here to go into environments like Eugene had to go into that plucker's camp set up there where people were squatting and saying, this is not how people are supposed to be living. There can be something better. And they almost gave him the mark of the cross. He almost suffered. But you know what? He was willing to engage. Now, what happens when you engage? Our community transformation is so beautiful. Everybody will love me. No, they will attack you with a fork. A little four-year-old. And all you're doing, you're trying to love them. Why? Because you are stepping on the enemy's territory. You are stepping onto a territory that he thinks belongs to him. The devil thinks Summers of the West belongs to him. He's got another thing coming. This place has been bought with the blood of Jesus. Summers of the West, Gordons Bay, Strand, Makassar. Jesus bled and he died for each and every soul in this community. And they are our spoil. Do you want the spoil, saints? Do you want the treasure? Do you want the treasure? I'm looking forward to sharing some spoil with you. Chatted with Gabriel. Gabriel chatted to me. You'll see Gabriel here. Gabriel challenges me tremendously. I see him next to the robot often. But he keeps on inviting people. Keeps on loving people. I'm like, Jesus, how does this work? Jesus told me, look at him. Look at him. And see something of my heart. Don't look at the fancy dresses. Don't look at the amazing clothes. Look at a man living on the street and see something of my heart. I'm like, God, he challenges me. And so he says to me, Heinrich, Rochelle Liederman, she's coming in a couple of weeks. We haven't announced it yet, but she's a gospel artist and mom, radio presenter, wonderful woman. And I spoke to Gabriel about it. He says, I'm going to invite the entire Garden Village. Are you ready for 100 people? He says. I said, shucks, no. The kids' church ready. Heck, not so many. Don't invite that many. Maybe just 10. Now, whether he invites them or not, the question challenged me. Are we ready for 100 people who needs Jesus? And I felt the Lord says, yes, we are. Because the harvesters have been prepared. We keep on praying, Lord, raise up the harvesters. And yes, it's the harvesters. Equipped, trained. I mean, you don't even have to listen to my sermons. You've got so much word inside of you over the years. You can go back to any sermon, listen to it again. You can go into, some of you got so many incredible podcasts running on your phone. I mean, the fact you come into church is probably just for the fellowship because you can get a whole lot of other great stuff anywhere else. The issue is not the lack of seed. The issue is what are we doing with the seed? So Zed Hutton taught us to say, amen or ouch. I've been saying ouch to the Lord Jesus as he's challenging me on these things a lot lately. Last verse, and I'm done. Band, please come up. And when Luke 15, verse 5 to 6, and when he finds, 15, verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. 4-year-old girl thinks it's okay to attack somebody else with a fork. Why? Because she's lost. Why? Because her mommy and her daddy, if they're even around, they are lost. Suppose one of you is 100 sheep. Suppose you go to the mall and you lose one of your kids for a minute. Anybody? It happened to anybody? Remember what it felt like? Suppose the father has sheep that got lost. And he's calling out to them. He's looking for somebody to gather them. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and he go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you, that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. We're having discussions this week with leaders around our budget. I thank you guys for giving. We went through a difficult patch. We threw it. Finances have picked up. Expenses are down. We've moved out of the office. So they're selling the office. Hopefully you all know by now that we wanted to buy the office many years ago. We couldn't because of the building rights. The people that own the office, they're selling it. We moved into a small office. 2,500 rand a month we pay. I don't want to be going into another big office right now. I want the money. I want what we have to go to Salts. I want what we have to go to Salts. You can stand. Father, I pray for each of our hearts. I pray that you will filter my emotion, my tears, and what you're still busy doing in my heart, Lord. I wish I could give this in a more dignified way. I can't. I'm thinking about your heart. So Father, I come before you on behalf of us, on behalf of myself. And I pray that you'll forgive me and that you will forgive us for losing the sound of the harvest. For allowing our stuff to block heaven's sound. I pray that you'd be gracious towards the hearers, Lord. Is anything that I said that hurt anyone, offended anyone, Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me. I pray that you'll give them the grace to forgive me. I pray that they will hear you. If you know that a long time ago, maybe you enlisted as a harvester, I want to invite you that you would kneel with me at the front and we would just spend time speaking to God as the band leads us in worship. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that you meet us in our weaknesses, God. We thank you that you don't look for the qualified, God. That your grace covers all the weaknesses in this room. I thank you through your Spirit you lift every mantle of shame and condemnation right now. Thank you for infusing us with your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come to empower us to be witnesses, Lord, here in our Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the ends of the earth. Witnesses, Lord, to the parents of our kids as friends, Lord. Witnesses to those that work with us, those, God, who live in our streets. Witnesses wherever we go, Father. Oh, we declare this morning that you are worth it all. Every sacrifice, Lord, you are worth it all because you have gave it all for us. And then one day we will stand with nations worshiping you. I would like us to pray for one another. You put your arm around somebody sitting next to you, kneeling next to you, and bring your heart before him, before God, and pray for one another. He would say, just again, Jesus, every sacrifice. Last night, Nikki and I, we had to just make some sums again. Is it worth it? The things we sometimes have put our families through and our kids, is it worth it? It says, Jesus, you are worth it. And it's a small price that we have to pay for the one that shed his blood for us. It's an honor to lay our lives down for you. Lord, I pray that you will come and bless us with courage. Help us to carry our cross. I sense the Lord is saying that as his Spirit was upon Jesus, that for some of you this morning, it's going to be that Garden of Gethsemane moment. That you would just be honest and say, Jesus, Father, not with my family looking the way it's now, not with my business, not with my health the way it's now. I don't know. All I know is, Lord, I want to please you, Father. And you would invite the strength that came and helped Jesus to drink the cup. Saints, it's worthy for us to suffer for. Mean our sleep or our time, inconvenience to our kids, he is worthy. Let's pray just the Holy Spirit come upon us.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.